It is a great privilege and blessing to be here at Lubbock with you once again. It seems like it's been a long time. I would ask for your prayers for what time that I might stand before you, and I was thankful that Elder Gale said that I was to introduce for him. Many years ago, when I first started to, as what they call, exercise, the ministers told me when someone asks you to introduce, that's 10 minutes tops. If they asked you to share the time, you had 30 minutes. If they told you you had all the time, you took all the time you wanted. But I would ask for you prayers for me and for Elder Ferries this morning, and pray for yourselves and pray for one another, that the Lord might lift us all up together and make us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't know that I have any certain subject upon my mind this morning. I thought I had made an agreement with Elder Gale. He was at Littlefield last Sunday and even stayed with us, which I am very thankful. They stayed with us through our communion service. But he didn't want to get up. He just wanted to sit and listen, be preached to. And I said, okay, but I intend to be at Lubbock next Sunday. You remember that. He told me a while ago, he said, I didn't forget it. I just overlooked it. If I would have a place that I might start for a few moments this morning, the Lord might bless us, that we might put aside the transitory cares of this life for a little while, all the afflictions that are upon us. Each and every one have different afflictions. May we put them aside for a little while this morning, and may we focus upon Jesus Christ. May we deny ourselves this morning and take up our cross and follow Jesus. May our eyes be focused upon him and not our own troubles and our sorrows and our cares in this life. For I have, through experience, learned that if we dwell upon our own sorrows and we get into a self-pity party, there's no joy there. But whatever state that we are in, whether it's bad or good or whatever, if we are rejoicing in the Lord, then it doesn't matter what position that we're in, as Brother Mac. That we know that the Lord will give us the strength to continue on and go through whatever tribulations that we might have in this life. And we know that he will be there when it's time that he calls us home. Looking in Isaiah in chapter 46 and verse 9, it says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Children of grace, this morning, do you believe that what I've just read to you is truth? That he is... his counsel will stand no matter what happens in this nation, no matter what happens with our government, no matter what laws or what immoralities or whatever that they might impose upon the children of God in this land, that we know that God's counsel shall stand, and whatever he purposes shall also come to pass. And we know that the promises that he has made unto us, we know by reading in the scriptures that the promises of old have come to pass. And we know the promises that he has given unto us that have not yet come I hope that you know and feel in your own very heart that these promises will surely come to pass. That when he has promised that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, we know that he's going to come for us. He's promised to come here, and that we're all going to be taken home to live with him in heaven in immortal glory. That we understand that, we know in our very heart that promise will come to pass. That there is coming a day when we're not going to be suffering any more affliction in this life, when we're not going to have loved ones and children going astray and following the wiles of the devil, that we know that we're all going to be in the very presence of God in heaven in immortal glory. And we know that we're not going to have sin dwelling with us anymore, that our bodies are going to be changed and fashioned like the glorious body of Jesus Christ, whatever that might be. We don't understand exactly. No man, no woman, child can understand exactly what kind of perfections that is going to pertain to. But the we are told in the scriptures, we know not yet what we shall be like, but we shall be satisfied. We're going to be satisfied in whatever state that we're in. There is much controversy even among the own Baptists on what kind of a body that we're going to have in heaven. I myself believe and can tell you from the very depths of my heart that you're going to have your body. There may be some out there, I don't want this body. It's old, it's decrepit, it's failing, it's falling apart. I don't want this body. You're not going to have your body in that condition in heaven and immortal glory, because it's going to be made into a glorified body. All sin is going to be taken away. It's going to be done with. The scriptures tell us that when sin is finished, then cometh forth death. When we die a natural death in this life, sin has no more dominion over us. It has no more control over us. It's done with us. It's done its job. It's brought our bodies into a state to where it's failed us, and even to give out its last breath. But when these bodies are changed, when they're brought out of the ground, or if he comes while we yet still remain here, us here in this room, if we're still remaining, and the Lord were to come today or tomorrow, these bodies are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. They're going to be changed and made into like unto his glorious body. All sin is going to be done away with and taken away. But if you understand, children of grace, that his counsel shall stand, and no man can stay his hand, or nor say unto him, what doest thou? We have many, I know many people that have had bad things happen to them in their life, or maybe they lost a parent or a child or a spouse, whatever the case may be. And I've even had some become angry with God because they took them from them before they what we would think would be their time to go. Maybe at even a young age, and God has the time. God doesn't deal in time. He put time here for us. There is no time in eternal life. There's no time in heaven and immortal glory. But there is, if you'll allow me to say, there is a time with God that which he will call each and every one of us home at different times. Unless the Lord come before that and take us all up together, which would be just fine with me. That we not suffer anymore in this life. We not have the sorrows that we have in this life. That we not have all the troubles and children that go astray, or even ourselves. Once in a while, you can have, the most religious man in the world, if there is such. He can fail. And he can fall. If you put him on a pedestal, I guarantee you he will fall. We've known some that's happened to. It'll fail. But knowing this counsel is sure, and that it will not fall, that it will stand forever. If you understand that and you know that, that the whole counsel of God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. There's not anyone else involved in the whole counsel of God. And if you can see that and know that, if God would, the Lord would reveal that unto you, that there's no one else in the counsel of God, and that you understand that he purposed a covenant before the foundation of the world, and that covenant is salvation by grace. that he has saved you by his grace and that alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. It's not just any gift of God. It's not a gift of God. It's the gift of God. And in Romans 6 chapter tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have eternal life right now. It's not when we die or our loved ones pass on and go to heaven that we can say, oh, now they have eternal life. If you know Jesus Christ, and if you know his Father, if you know him, then you have eternal life. That's not the exact wording, but there is scripture that says that. If you know Jesus is the Son of God, and you know that he is the only begotten Son of God, and you know that God the Father sent him here to redeem you from your sins. You know, it tells us that in Galatians. It says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might be made the sons of God. And that might doesn't mean perhaps or maybe. It's by the mighty hand of God, by his power, that he has made us his children. And because ye are sons, the very next verse. So that throws away that might, that maybe, that perhaps. And he says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father, we have been given this, salvation by grace, not based upon anything that we would do in this life, not according to any works that we would do. Tells us that in Titus 3 and 5, not according to works which we have done, but according to mercy hath he saved us. By his mercy, by his grace, he has saved us eternally. Not by any works that we would do in this life, not by any good that we would do in this life, but solely upon the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and I. He took all of our sins upon himself. He imputed our sins to himself. That means he charged all of our sins, all the sins of every child that the Father gave him before the world began. He took all those sins upon himself, and the scripture says he became sin. He became sin for you and I. He which was holy, he which was full of glory, he which was white, if you will, white as snow, became black for you and I. Taking all of our sins upon himself, suffering the things that he suffered, the scourging, the crown of thorns being put on him, all the humiliation that was thrown at him, being nailed to the cross, being suspended between heaven and earth, those coming about and mocking him, coming about and saying, if thou be the Son of God, come down from there. I want you to know that Jesus Christ could have come down from there. He could have kept all this from happening. But yet he came here for that purpose. He came here to suffer and to bleed and die for you and I, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Once again, that might is by the power of God. It's by the power of God and by his mercy and grace that we have life today. And the life that we have today is in Jesus Christ. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We had nothing that we could offer unto God that he might look upon us and smile and be pleased. We had nothing about us that we could offer before God. And God already knew that before the world began. So by this council that shall stand, he purposed the covenant of grace, before the world began. And in that covenant, if you just simply break it down as simply as you can, the covenant of grace simply means Jesus Christ and him crucified. He was crucified for you and I. He went through that suffering as the man. He was the man, Jesus Christ, but he was also God, 100% man, 100% God. It wasn't a 50-50 deal. It was 100% on both sides. And he, the things that he suffered in as a natural man, the scourging, having all of the flesh torn from his body to where even he could, says he was marred more than any man. That I believe that he could be in such a position that people wouldn't even have known who he was if they hadn't seen him being nailed to that cross and suspended between heaven and earth. Yet he did that for you and I. But you know, we can kind of, as hard as it is to take in, we can kind of see and kind of maybe imagine what he went through as a man, being scourged and being tortured here. But we, and I give thanks unto God, and I hope that you do too, that we will never know and never be able to understand and imagine, even think about what he suffered in those 3 hours of darkness when his father turned his back on him. And he poured out the wrath upon his only begotten son, that wrath that should have been upon you and I. That was our punishment. That's what we deserved. We were the ones that were sinners by nature and sinners by practice. You know, there's many children of God out in the world today. They don't like that. Say, I don't feel that it's right. I don't feel that it's fair that I'm being punished for one man's disobedience. You know, it says, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. They say, that's not fair. That's not fair. What I say is not fair. Why did he choose any of us? Why did he choose any of us? We were all fallen. We were all fallen in Adam. When Adam transgressed God's righteous and holy law, when he fell, when he died, we fell. We were doomed to an eternal separation from God, never to be in the presence of God from that point on. Him being our representative, if you will, our forefather. When he disobeyed God, we all being yet in him, we all disobeyed just as he did. But there are folks that says, I don't like that. I don't want to be charged by somebody else's disobedience. I tell you what, if you don't count that, don't even look at Adam's transgression. Look within yourself and one sin that you've committed in this life. Even a foolish thought is sin. One sin that you've committed in this life just put you in the same place that Adam put you. We are sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice. But we give glory unto God that he purposed this covenant, that we would be saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have been placed in a position of righteousness, not having any of our own. We have been placed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have been given life in him. He is our righteousness. He is our all in all. He is the only one that could come and put us all in a position to where we could live with God in heaven in immortal glory. We could not do it for ourselves. None of us could do it for ourselves, much less anybody else. But Jesus came, you know, and he came willing. He came willing to do what he did. You know, look at it this way. And this is putting it in my own words. Before the foundation of the world, God the Father says, they're going to fall. They're going to fall in sin. Sin's going to come into the world. We've got to do something to save them. We've got to do something to bring them out of that fallen pit, if you will. And imagine your Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, right there with him, saying, I'll go, send me. I'll go, send me. And he came to do the will of the Father. For he saw the suffering. It says he saw the travail of his soul, that suffering, and was satisfied. He knew all of us before we were ever in existence. He knew every one of us before the world was ever spoken into existence. He knew us. He still knows you today. He knows your troubles. He knows your trials. He knows your afflictions. And he knows what you stand in need of. Sometimes we think, well, we need this, we need that. Oh, if I just had that, everything would be better. Then we get that, nothing's better. He knows what you need. He knows more than we do what we need. And it's sometimes when it comes, we didn't even realize that's what we needed. but we did. He is the one when we veer off the paths of righteousness and we get off on these paths that lead us to destruction, that lead us to death. He is the one that will intervene and can. He's the only one that can intervene and put you back on the right path. That path that lead us unto Jesus Christ, that path of righteousness that we have been taught by Jesus Christ throughout the scriptures of how to walk in this life, how to live in this life, how to treat one another, how to live as a servant, how to not to exalt yourself to try to have power over anyone else. You know, it's a whole lot easier in this life if you're living your life at the feet of your brethren and sisters. If you're living to serve them, to make sure they have what they need, doesn't matter if you have what you need. If you're making sure everybody else has what they need, you receive the greater blessing. You receive that. But we have been given this greatest gift, and this gift is Jesus Christ. And he suffered and he bled and died for you and I so that we would live with him in heaven in immortal glory one day. There's coming a day. Oh, a wonderful day. How beautiful heaven must be. I wish I knew now, but if I knew now exactly how beautiful heaven really was, we wouldn't stay here a moment longer. We wouldn't stay if we actually knew. It's that uncertainty. But you know what overpowers that uncertainty that we have? A lot of people have a fear of death. You know, I can stand up here before you and say, I'm not afraid to die. I'd as soon go today, but I'd be lying to you because there's that fear. There's that uncertainty of knowing where we're going to go. And am I really a child of God? Did Jesus Christ really pay the price for me? Or am I going somewhere else? There's that uncertainty. But you know what overpowers uncertainty? Faith. Faith that God has given unto you. It's a fruit of the Spirit. That when he regenerates new birth to one of his children, faith is right there in the middle of those fruits. And it's by that faith in which we believe. It's by that faith that we continue on, knowing the Lord is there with us. Through six woes will I be with thee, even in the seventh. Even in the seventh, which is death, I will not leave thee. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. He's there for us from now on. We having eternal life now. There's that within us which will not die when these bodies lay down in death. That seed that he has put in you that cannot sin, it cannot die. He's made a new creature in you. Though we lay down these natural bodies in death, that they even turn returned unto the dust of the earth from which they were made, there's that within you that will never die, that ascends immediately back unto the Father which gave it, your spirit, your soul, waiting for that time, that glorious morning when that eastern sky is going to be split and the Lord's going to come back. As they saw him ascend up into heaven, white men in robes asked them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? As you've seen him go away, in like manner shall he return. And he's going to come back. And he's going to take every one of us home. And we're going to be in whatever bodies we are. I think we're going to be in these bodies that we have. They're going to be made new. They're going to be made perfect without sin. Job of old said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and shall set foot again upon the earth, which we know he's already done that. He's not going to set foot on this earth anymore. But he says, although my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and mine eyes and not another shall behold. You're going to behold your Savior in the bodies that you have, but they're going to be made perfect. They're not going to be full of ailments and aches and pains. Elder Gale asked me this morning if I had anything on my mind. I said, yeah, aches and pains. I'm sore this morning for some reason. May we give God all the praise, honor, and glory. That is our duty, to serve God every day of our life, whatever condition our life is in. Praise God. Praise God. I thank you for your kind attention.